You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Everybody, it's Amanda
and I'm Ashley,
and this is How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling 66.
Spooky. Yeah. It's not spooky.
Here's how dumb I am. I was trying to figure out a way to make it a 666 thing, especially considering what we're doing this week, but alas, nothing.
No. Just missing one. We're just missing a six.
If it was in June, we would have had our third six.
Yeah. Ooh, spooky. Ooh.
Okay. I've been wanting to do this one for a minute, so I'm pretty fucking stoked about it.
Our episode that keeps getting moved.
Seriously, we moved this episode so many times. And I waited to listen to what I needed to listen to until we were going to cover it, because I didn't want to like have it and then lose it.
Yeah.
So do we want to do pleasantries? I mean, we kind of did that before we recorded.
Oh my God. We were just laughing so hard. I'm not even going to try to do it, but yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to say it. We love Mance Warner in this house.
Yeah.
Especially for the giggle he just gave us.
Seriously. Just, both me and Amanda are having a rough day. So thank you, Mance, for just cheering us up a little bit.
I swear I will share on Twitter what we're laughing so fucking hard at. Because it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's so dumb. It's nothing amazing, guys, but it's fucking funny for whatever reason.
It's one of the stupidest things ever, but it's Brett Lauderdale yelling at Mance for breaking chairs and Mance screaming at him that he didn't break any of them. And it's the most beautiful, wonderful thing ever. And I think the thing that's making me laugh is I just keep talking like him.
Oh my God, it's so good. And your Mance impression's pretty good. I won't make deep, you.
No, I'm too embarrassed, but he has the deepest voice and it's just so fun to do. Anyway, we're talking about some heavy, kind of heavy stuff today, but
it's different from the usual. This is like a mashup of two of our favorite things.
Yes. Murder
and wrestling.
Yeah, and wrestling and luchadors. I just want to say that I looked on Murderpedia for some more information, and there's a photo gallery on Murderpedia.
Oh.
And it just says victim, very graphic on each photo, and I'm like, I'm not going to click those.
Oh, I want to see it.
I could let you see them, but I'm not going to click that.
Murderpedia. Sorry. Give me one second because I have to see this because Murderpedia was blocked on my work computer.
Well, I wonder why.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And then on top of that, male murderers. I don't care about the female. That's what I want. Does it go by first name?
Oh, here. I can just send it to you.
Oh, I think it goes by last name. Okay, so then she's here.
She's a B.
Okay, so we're going to talk about...
There you go.
Juana Barraza. She is a female luchador. So I will say this. The only thing that kind of pissed me off about all of this is that there was very, very little information about her actual wrestling career. And that bummed me out. I'm not seeing your very, very graphic thing. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I just opened up the entire photo gallery. I'm not seeing anything graphic.
Okay, I'm still not gonna click it.
Don't do it, but oh, here. I mean, it's the dead bodies. Oh, that one's a smidge graphic. I mean, okay, well, one of them, they show you the goddamn body when it's on the table, which seems like an autopsy table. So, like, we don't need to see that. But overall, they're like, there's only one that's really that graphic, which the one that's really that graphic is the one that, like, she legitimately killed. Okay, sorry. Juana Barraza is who we are covering today. She was a female luchador turned serial killer. She's
maybe
a very,
maybe,
yeah, depending on what you believe. She maybe is a serial killer, or maybe she just murdered one person and that's it. Like,
yeah.
I would say a lot of the information, but that's not true. Like, all of the information came from episode 478 of last podcast on the left.
Yeah. We had a fun little listening party and got some information from them. And then also I did read some stuff on Murderpedia as well.
I went on a buttload of different websites looking for wrestling information, and all anybody wanted to talk about was fucking killing.
Yeah, I was trying to find out more about her wrestling stuff too. And it's like, the only thing that I saw was like, she had, they kept saying she was obsessed with it when she was younger.
Yeah.
And that, there was something about Titanic mock battles, but I think that the wording is weird.
Probably it got translated.
Funky. Yeah. And it was like, cause that's not what luchadors are.
No,
I don't know why the word Titanic was in there, but it was just very interesting that was, yeah. Anyway, the translation was very strange.
I'm just going to like write her a letter and ask her to tell us more about her luchador stuff, because yeah. I think it's bullshit that's not in there.
I thought both of her luchador names were actually fucking cool.
Yes. Well, especially in the language.
Yeah. So her first one was the little star.
Yes. But it was like Estrellita or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Wrong. And I apologize. Second one was La Dama del Silencio.
The Silent Lady.
So good.
She was totally like a heel.
Yeah, they call it a Ruda in Spanish. I thought that was so rad. But like, according to last podcast, which I'm going to take every word they say as fucking, what's
gospel.
It called?
Gospel.
Thank you. Gospel, because Marcus is a freak and he fucking researches everything.
Well, I thought it was really interesting too that his wife helped him so much on this, and she translated like a lot of it. So that's fucking cool.
Well, and she's from, I don't know if she's from Mexico exactly, but like she speaks the language fluently and stuff. So like she translated the biography or whatever it was that they found online. And
Because there's only one that they could find, which is crazy because the story is so, like, they keep saying on that episode as well. If you can go listen to the episode, I mean, if you want a super, super in depth, they go back through the history of like serial killers in Mexico because it wasn't a very prominent thing. But her story is, I think, Henry kept saying it, that her story should be made into a movie.
There's a whole lot of, like, there is so much that I don't understand why this hasn't been a bigger story.
Yeah, because if you look on Wikipedia, as far as portrayals in media, there's been a couple things in, like, the Spanish media. There's a Deadly Women episode, an episode of Criminal Minds, and this episode of last podcast, and that's it. Yeah,
I don't understand,
because it's so insane. Like, she had such a fucked life from the fucking jump.
Okay, so briefly She was born in December 27th, 1957, to a cop and a prostitute.
Classic parents.
Classic. The mom leaves the cop, which I didn't realize they were like together, but I guess she leaves him to go shack up with a married man.
Also, she was one of 35 kids.
Yeah, that's right.
From the dad?
So
nuts. No, I thought the dad was a truck driver.
I don't know. And everything that I was seeing online, it said the dad was a cop.
Oh, they said that the dad was a truck driver.
So maybe he was a truck driver. I believe Marcus over fucking anything I found on the internet.
We believe Marcus Parks in this house.
Marcus Parks is always right in this house.
Yeah.
But in any case, her mom leaves the biological dad and goes and shacks up with a married dude that becomes stepdad. And I guess stepdad was like decent, but mom was
fucked.
Her mom, I don't even understand. I don't even understand. And I'm like, part of me is like, okay, given the timeline, like it's the late 50s, early 60s, abortion is not a thing that we do. Given the religious area, probably Catholic, I have to imagine that's like a no-go for sure, but like, stop having babies, woman. Stop having babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. And then at like the age of 12, she trades Juana for 3 beers.
Yeah. Which isn't even like a fucking trade. It's just like, hey, I don't like my fucking kid. Like, just take her. She trades her for 3 beers to a dude who was like a sibling's friend that they find out.
Yeah.
So it was like a sibling's friend. And then like he fucking treats her like basically like a fucking sex slave. And then that person's mom finds out, and then the mom's like beats the shit out of the son, but not because it was bad, but because like they were gonna get in trouble.
Yeah, she didn't know that there was a trade that happened. So she wasn't mad about what was going on.
No, not at all.
Mad because she thought he just like took her. So as soon as she found out it was a trade, it was like, oh, it's cool beans. She can do my laundry.
Yeah. And then like continued on for like another year.
Or four, depending on what you read.
Or four. Yeah.
Holy shit. Is insane. That's one of the things I'm struggling with too. It's like nothing was truly nailed down in this chick's story as far as like length of time of anything.
No, but her stepdad found out about it, got her out of there with the help of like her grandparents or something, or aunt and uncle. I can't remember what it was. Some other family members got her out of there. And then the fucking stepdad beat the shit out of the mom for like selling her for beer, which is like not like a good thing either.
Yeah, there's a lot of like domestic violence happening in these stories.
But like, fuck, man. There's a lot of shit happening in this story. So.
Oh, and yeah. Then mom dies.
Mom fucking dies of cirrhosis of the liver at like 36.
I think that's what they said.
That is insanely young to die of cirrhosis of the liver. Like, you have had to been drinking a lot. Yeah. a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like bottles of booze.
No water at
no,
all.
No water.
No water. You were 100% filtrating out alcohol at that point.
Yeah, you were just booze at that point. And then she said like she had absolutely no remorse for her mother's death at all.
Which, understandable, it doesn't sound like they had much of a relationship.
Yeah. But at, I think it was at 18, she became... Well, she kind of was always obsessed with luchadors, but at 18 is when she started training.
Mm-hmm. And I guess she trained and like fought a bunch of fairly fucking well-known ones.
Yeah, she didn't have her first match until she was 22.
Yeah, because they make you go through like an apprenticeship out there.
Yeah. And then basically, I guess I didn't know this. It's interesting. I would love to read some more stuff about maybe the history of like luchadors, because it was really interesting. But I apparently, maybe it's just back in the day, I don't think it would be necessarily the case now, but who knows. Your first match is more like a hazing.
Yeah.
And so she got the shit beat out of her, but she did get money too. So she was like stoked because she got a fair amount. She got like, I don't know, 20 or so bucks for the match. And then she started getting better and better. And she was afraid of heights, but at the same time, she liked the adrenaline rush. So she was like, I can make money doing this. And she would fight several times during the night. So they said at her peak, she was making like $1,000 or more a night. So like, fuck yeah. She couldn't have been that bad.
She got a belt.
Yeah. But there was also that weird thing that they mentioned later too, where, so her career kind of fizzled out around her like late 30s, early 40s
because of a back injury.
Yeah. So she did stop, but when all of the other stuff happened that we'll touch on in a second. When all of the other stuff happened, no one really came to her defense, but also no one really named her as being a bad person either, which is really weird. And so I thought that part was very strange.
Yeah. It just, like, it was just radio silence.
Yeah, like, no one had anything to say at all. Like, we're not going to say anything good, but we're not going to say anything bad.
There wasn't even anybody that was like, oh, I'm shocked about this information. Like, people just didn't say anything.
And I wonder if it's just more like Ben Kissel had said, where it's like, kind of keeping kayfabe a little bit.
Yeah, he did well, and that would make sense for Kissel to say because Kissel watched wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah, so kind of keeping kayfabe where it's like, oh, we don't know, like, we only know the silent lady, you know.
I mean, that makes sense. Well, and they take I feel like they take kayfabe a lot more serious than we do because luchas will wear their fucking masks to formal events and shit.
No one knows. And there's certain people that no one knows who they look like or what they look like or, you know.
So I don't know. I feel like maybe there's something to that.
That could be.
And who knows? It could be like a cultural thing where, like, keep your fucking mouth shut if you don't know anything about it.
Very true. Very true. Like, that's not my business. I'm not going to put my foot in that business.
Americans don't have that problem. We are in everybody's business.
Snitches get stitches.
They take that shit serious. Yeah, I was bummed that, like, there wasn't more information about her wrestling career. I mean, there's pictures of her in her wrestling outfit for the Silent Lady.
Yeah.
And then she got a belt of some sort because there's photos of her with a belt.
Mm.
And then she got the back injury, so she was out. And then they said that she worked as, like, a promoter for a minute, which you... And then they said that she made more money as a promoter than she did as a wrestler, which...
Yeah. Like, Jesus. So, I don't know. It's very interesting. This is where the story gets kind of weird. And, you know...
So then, I'm just going to come out and say, so then, at a certain point in time, she decides to go fucking, depending on what you believe,
yeah,
asterisks, depending on what you believe, she goes on a fucking, like, murderous rampage on a bunch of old women. But yeah, it's not even, okay, I don't want to say it's not brutal, because it is brutal, and I apologize for the victims, but, like, she's not murdering them in cold blood with knives and guns and things. She's strangling them, and supposedly she's strangling them with, like, all kinds of weird shit.
Tights, stethoscopes. Yeah. I just, like, I really remember the stethoscope.
Yeah, because it's such a one. Well, okay, so like Henry was saying for a second, it's not that weird if she's pretending to be a nurse, which supposedly that was the whole thing. Like, she and another gal would dress up like a nurse so that they could get into the homes, mm-hmm. and then they would strangle the ladies and take all their shit.
Right.
But I don't know. Depending on who you believe of the last podcast, dudes, like, everybody had a different scenario.
Yeah, they were really, like, torn on very different, like, things.
Henry seemed to believe that she totally did kill all of these older ladies. And then Marcus was like, well, but there was other things going on.
I think Henry believes the worst in people, though.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong about that. Whereas Marcus is like, well, but what about this theory? And what about this fucking theory? And then, like, he even brought up some really sound political shit where there was a specific person running for office and he had created the program that supposedly she, Juana, was using to get into these houses. So he caught her and stopped all of the fucking killing. And she didn't get caught until like 2006. So she was an older woman killing like elderly women.
Yeah.
Killing Litas.
Grandmas. Little grandmas.
My favorite part is her nickname, her serial killer nickname was, and I'm going to fuck this up so bad and I apologize. I've been trying to practice saying it all day. La Mata Viejitas. Mm-hmm. Little old lady killer. Which, like, translated, it's horrible, but when you say it in the language, it's beautiful.
And last podcast does a way better job of explaining the history of serial killers in Mexico and why this is technically considered Mexico's first actual serial, not actual serial killer, but, like, I guess tried.
Yeah, this one was like the first one tried as a serial killer because Mexico didn't have serial killer problems. That was an American thing.
Yeah, and like that was just this gross American thing because why would anyone do that? Like that's a very disrespectful thing. People don't kill for sport, I guess.
They know? Also, like, here's the part that kind of shocked me is there were eyewitnesses saying that they had seen Juana coming out of these old ladies' apartments, and they still thought that it had to be a male serial killer that was fucked up in the head, as they put it, fucked up in the head, and cross-dressing to pose as a woman,
yeah,
to evade the police. Like, I don't even...
This is 2006, too.
Yeah, this isn't even a long time ago. This is 2006. And
they were so hellbent on this that they even had, like, the weird thing to me is, like, they had those people from France come over.
Yeah.
That were like, no, you need to ask the eyewitnesses. And they're like, no, it's a cross-dresser.
Dude, well, and I'm like, I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there. But if this is, like, an American problem, why did you bring in the French?
64 different fucking, like, character drawings or something that they had.
64 character drawings.
Yeah. And, like, they're just still like,
there was,
it's a cross-dresser. It's a man!
And she looks, here's my favorite part, is she totally looks like one of the character sketches, and then Ben goes, well, yeah, there was 64 of them. I look like one of them. And oh my God. But like, it makes sense. Like, yeah, if there's 64 character sketches, like, I'm going to fucking look like one of them.
Yeah. Apparently they said that they had fingerprint evidence to link her to at least 10 of the murders.
But if you listen to what she says when she's taken into custody,
yeah,
Juana says something about, like, no, they sat me down and they made me touch all these things.
But yeah.
Use them.
There's that. There's the fact that she couldn't actually read.
Oh yeah, that was like a big one. So it was like, how do you have all of these client card informations from this thing if you can't read?
And then her accomplice was like, oh well, I was like this part of it, she was this part of it, but then, you know, nothing really happened. Did anything really happen to the accomplice?
No, because supposedly she was in for a different murder and some other jazz. And so since she folded on Juana, she got let go.
Mm.
So, I mean,
that's the thing is, like, it's very touchy because it definitely seemed like they wanted to pin so much on her. And I mean, well, she got like
769 years is what she was with, or something crazy like that. And then one of the things Marcus brought up that I thought was so fucking crazy was the murders had stopped like 4 or 5 years before she was caught.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, serial killers totally take breaks. We are well aware of that. And I mean, sometimes it's a month break and sometimes it's 7 years.
Yeah.
But it did seem crazy that, like, it had stopped and they're still pinning all of it on her.
No. It had stopped, and then they pinned that last one on her because they caught her running out of the apartment of the lady, because the guy, there was a person who was at the at the lady's house or something.
Yeah, it's all very suspicious.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those things that we'll never know might never know the truth, because there are two sides to every story, three sides to every story.
I just want to know more about the wrestling.
I
want to
know more about the wrestling too.
Like, I'm really sad there was not a match somewhere. Like, I wanted to find a match. I wanted to know what title she held.
Yeah.
Information I gathered was that she fought, there was some wrestler named Charlie Manson, and she, I guess, really adored him and wrestled him.
Holy shit.
And then there was another, like, fairly well-known wrestler within that community that she wrestled and stuff. But, like, from everything that I could gather from the wrestling career was audience liked her.
Her fucking outfit was so badass. She looks like the Pink Power Ranger with a butterfly on her face.
She does look pretty badass. It was sick. Yeah, I just wanted to know more about the wrestling. And I tried to, like, you can't look up this name without finding everything about the murders.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to find, like, exactly what you found, which was her outfit, her with the belt. But I would love to know more about the fucking wrestling.
I mean, that's what we're here for, people. This is not a true crime podcast. We're here to talk about wrestling.
Yeah. And I was bummed. But I think that the crime scene photos.
Stop clicking the button. Don't click the button.
I didn't click it on the thing. I clicked on Google Images. It betrayed me.
It betrayed me. Oh my gosh.
I just wanted to find a match. They didn't have it.
They didn't have anything. I was bummed. Like, I was really hoping for at least like a clip of a match.
Oh, wait. Wait. Did you? I know. Maybe. What the fuck is this? Oh, this is some opera.
Damn it. What the hell?
It looked like a match. Yeah, it's not. God damn it. It had a link that looked like a picture of a match with a lady in it.
Oh,
it turned out it was something else.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
How dare you fuck us like that, Google?
Yeah.
Dicks.
My bad. I can't believe I had to see crime scene photos. I hate crime scene photos.
I'm sorry you had to see that. Google betrayed you quickly. I apologize.
I've only ever seen crime scene photos from, like, James Dean's car accident, and there's a book that was like 20s through 40s LA, and it was the photos from there, and that was kind of cool, but, like, I don't like it.
I have seen a lot more crime scene photos than you have.
Well, I know. That's why I never wanted to go to the Museum of Death, because, like, it's a lot of crime scene photos.
Okay, the Museum of Death is fucking crazy. Like, I know it's a museum and they don't do this there, but I continue to walk around. I've been there multiple times now, and I every time continue to walk around with the fucking weird, creeped out feeling that somebody is going to jump out and scare me.
Yeah, that's why I don't like it.
It's never happened. Nobody has ever jumped out at me, and I've been there multiple times, but I just like keep waiting for some dickhead to be behind a wall that I walk behind, and like that's how it's gonna happen. This is how you get me.
I do want to go to that other place,
the Mystic Museum.
Yes,
I so want to do that also.
It's all 90s slashers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Okay. It's not scary.
I'll take you for your birthday. Let's go. We're playing. Okay,
we're doing it.
I have to get back from Hawaii first, but
yeah, obviously. Okay.
Oh yeah, so, I'm going to Hawaii.
Ashley's going to Hawaii. That will not interrupt any of our services.
No, it will not.
It will be fine, everyone. Don't worry.
Don't freak out. Everything's fine.
I'm not gonna do what you think I'm gonna do. Freak out as I'm wearing a tie-dye t-shirt. Fucking hell. Ugh. Okay, so that is like the briefest snippet of a story about Juana Barraza, the supposed luchador killer.
Just go listen to the last podcast on the left.
Yeah. Episode 478.
Well, that was just our synopsis of that, because we wanted to talk about it, and honestly we thought we'd find more information about the wrestling, and there is
not. I really thought we were gonna find more wrestling information.
I'm like, gonna dig around, maybe I'll find something, but
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, also thank you, Scott, for telling me about this episode, because I had no fucking idea about any of this until he told me, so that was
thank you, Scott.
That was awesome. Thank you very much.
Shout out to Scott.
If we find any more information about her wrestling career, we will be sure to share it with you, because yes. I'm as interested as I am. I have so many fucking questions now.
Seriously.
Come on. God, give us a movie already, but with the facts and more wrestling.
Yes.
That's it for today. Drink water, take your vitamins, leave your strong friends alone for the day, maybe. I don't know.
I was in a really bad mood, but that just go watch that Mance Warner clip, man. It's really funny.
Bro, from now on, that's just gonna be the fucking mood upper. I'm just gonna send you Mance Warner clips.
I didn't bring any of them.
Best is the second clip with him and Matthew Justice fucking checking all the chairs,
just sitting on all the chairs. Oh, a quick congratulations to Ryan and his girlfriend Jessie. Yeah, they got engaged over the weekend. Woo!
So yeah, our podcast network dude Ryan fucking got engaged.
Congratulations.
There's still love in the world.
Yes. Love does exist.
Okay, go tell somebody you love them. Drink your water.
You can find us.
That's right. Oh, are we gonna trade today?
Oh, you can find us on Twitter at
HTTWpod
or on Instagram at
How to Talk Wrestling Pod.
And you can buy t-shirts and stickers and other stuff at
How to Talk to Your Friend About wrestling.bigcartel.com.
Woo! We did it. We traded.
Traded spots and we still crushed it.
What the heck? Okay. That's everything. And have a good week. We're losing our fucking minds.
I'm going to go eat something and finish my taxes.
I'm going to go eat my spicy soup. I'm so excited.
Okay, enjoy your spicy soup. I love
it. Enjoy your taxes. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is
Your Dose of Death Podcast.
If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.